Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this January 6th, 2023. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we are going to welcome in at 10:30, Connie Tomsky-Fayville with Friends of Rapids Music. Looking forward to catching up with Connie. Right now, catching up with our good friend, Representative Scott Crew of Wisconsin Assembly District 72 in studio.
Yeah.
Scott, how you doing?
I'm good. I figured I was over at the Y to swing in and do the in-studio thing since it's your one-year anniversary week here. I just had to come see it again. I don't get here very often.
We appreciate that. I got to start out right out the gate. You look great, sir. You look good, man. It's good to have you.
It has been an awesome year. I mean, it's 9 months out from surgery, and just maintaining 100-pound weight loss is just, it's a different world. So I'm thrilled. I'm energetic. I'm ready to go.
Personally, I like having you in studio because I could see you face-to-face, right, and I could see how you're doing, and it's great to see. I'm very appreciative. Forget all the politics, all the other stuff, man. Just man-to-man, it is good to see you're doing well.
Yeah, it's life, right? Yes. And we talk about that all the time on this program, whether we're in person or on the phone. I mean, there are bigger things than politics. Like we saw this week, there are bigger things than football. I mean, and it's something that, you know, we'll talk about at some point in the future, but just having that, you know, at some point we're going to sneak in a guy show here.
Absolutely.
Just an hour just on life and politics and football. And basically, just in general, just life once.
We may need you to retire from politics first, though.
I know.
I'm
trying the radio voice out, so we're just going to try to see if it carries here. So.
It works. It works. I'm especially a little surprised to have you in the studio because you got a new office that you could be sitting in right now,
and
from what I hear.
I tell you, you know, it's weird because I've been there, you know, this is my seventh term, so 12 years in, and now there are just three people there that have been there longer than I've been.
Wow.
And it's insane to think like that, but with that comes some perks. Mm-hmm. First pick of office, first pick of, you know, parking lot, first pick of where you want to sit on the floor. So we did. We moved across the hall at the Capitol office and took a bunch of the, you know, all of my Badger decorative stuff and really decorated the place for the first time in 12 years because I figure I think I'm going to stay a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I might win I might win another election once or twice.
Could happen.
So I was always hesitant to take everything down there, but we finally decked it out and it's cozy. So yeah, it's nice to be down there again.
It sounds like a really nice office. It's good for everybody too. Good for the staff, everybody as well. And it is an interesting part of it. It's cool that came up because I wanted to talk with you about your inauguration and how that feels.
Yeah.
You mentioned this a couple of times. You know, you've been doing this a while now. As third most senior member in there in that building and stuff. That says something. Yeah. I don't want to word this as does it get old,
right?
But what is it about it that makes it feel like new and fresh every time? Because that, just knowing you a little bit, that seems to be more the case of than I've done this before. Like, I imagine there's none of that. It's got to feel unique every time.
So I'll tell you this is, before I got involved in, you know, government stuff, whether it's programming at the jail or at the Capitol or, you know, whatever it is, I never held a job for more than 2 years at a time because I get so bored so fast, right? So now, 12 years in the state assembly, I'm not saying that every day has been exciting. I'm not saying that every day was fun to go to work. Mm-hmm. So this session, I really changed it up a lot. You know, since my scare 2 years ago, all this health stuff that, you know, I've been going through and figuring out and fixing, I wanted to go back to Madison with something fresh. Mm-hmm. So I asked for a new committee assignment. I asked to be on all new committees. I asked for, you know, new office. I mean, those are things that freshen it up because, you know, it does get stagnant when you do the same thing. You know, I had the same committee for the last 6 years and just haven't been able to get a lot done in that committee because of how the politics are around public benefits and all that type of stuff. So I decided to take on something even more political and do campaigns and elections, right, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But it's nice to have new things to focus on because if I can keep learning, that's great. But if I had to keep regurgitating everything I've done, then it gets old. So that's why I went into this cycle with something entirely new, a new way to campaign, a new way to get back to Madison, a new way of doing everything, just to keep it fresh. So that's the key to it.
We get so used to seeing these representatives, these congressmen, these senators for years and years, sometimes decades, doing this job. And I see so many of these familiar faces. Some of them I've seen my whole life doing this. Right. And I thought about you and in this position and stuff. And the you know, and again, congratulations on being elected again and the swearing in and thinking about that, seeing some of the postings about it. And I wondered, how you don't get complacent. Yeah. How it's such human nature to, well, here's the same old routine, doing the same old thing. And of all the industries that we can't afford for people to get complacent right. in, it's politics. Yeah. Especially when one of my main headlines I wanted to talk with you about today is, what do we got to do to get more done? Because I think that is, you look at for themes. I think both parties do this, right. especially around a political time. What's this side's going to bring up this? This side's going to bring up this, and you know these are the big heavy topics in our constituency.
Yep.
The most common thing I think I see is that
right.
This frustration on both sides of the aisle, not just from the constituents, but from the politicians themselves. I don't know if I've ever seen more anger, like literal, just blunt anger, frustration coming out of Washington, coming out of Madison, coming out of all these places of, hey, when are we going to actually do anything?
Yep. I mean, honestly, that is the whole point of what the West Central legislators in Wisconsin have been all about.
Mm.
We are the majority, whether we're Republicans or we're Democrats. This West Central corridor of Republicans and Democrats, who are almost all common sense. I can't think of anybody who really isn't, but I never say all or never. But it's been time, and we nibble around the edges. You know, we work really well with, say, Representative Shanklin over in Stevens Point, Representative Emerson in Eau Claire on water quality stuff, and you know, we try to figure out how we can get together on those things. But now it's time for the bigger guys, the higher paychecks. Mm-hmm. You know, to start figuring out how to get together. So I look long term. I look at Governor Evers, and I look at him, and I think he's probably not going to run for re-election again. You know, get to that point where you just assume that you're, you know, not going to do it because you're getting older and things like that and other challenges. So I start thinking, you know, he's looking for legacy things. He's looking for things that people that remember him by. I look at Speaker Voss in the Assembly, and I see he's been Speaker now for, this is his fifth term in the Speakership, and he's been there 16 years overall. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be there forever either. I think this is probably his last term.
Mm.
I think he wants to rebuild some legacy things over all of the, you know, what he took over the campaigns and election stuff. So I think those two have finally come together and said, you know what, let's just stop. We're not going to get rid of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just get something done? And it's been nice because there's been actual conversations between them lately.
Hmm.
I mean, Robin was over at the mansion with the governor, and they were playing cribbage talking about policy.
Wow.
That's exciting, right?
That's very.
For the rank and file, for all of us who have good ideas of bills that have just either sat on our desk or got vetoed on the governor's desk, it's great because now we can, you know, put all those bills in with some expectation we can get things done. And I think on our end in the rank and file, I think it's incumbent upon us to start bringing down the rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
We saw one of our members get kicked out of our caucus because of the excessive rhetoric she was putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that I asked to take over her committee that she was leading because she was not doing a very good job with it whatsoever, even though campaigns and elections is not my background.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my forte. I've got a lot of learning to do. But it's time to bring common sense approach to reforms instead of being so reactive and rhetorical and all of these issues that keep coming up over and over again. It's time to just put this aside and get stuff done in that committee.
Yeah, and we'll I want to get into that a little bit with you. This will kind of bleed into that, I think,
right,
because I looking at this and coming into a new year, like many people with fresh eyes and stuff and wanting a different year than last year and a better year than last year. I think that when we look at our purple states, and especially Wisconsin, we can be the leaders in this. We can
we
be
have
the
always
example.
Been the laboratory of democracy. Wisconsin's always been the innovator. Wisconsin's always been the creator, whether it's unemployment insurance, workers' comp. Wisconsin has always led the nation in those regards. And that's what Robin was talking about in caucus this week, is that we've got to find ways to innovate and be creative and bring new things to the forefront that people can duplicate across the country. Governor Thompson did it with welfare reform. Why can't we be leaders in that again?
Yeah.
We've done all of these things before, and Governor Thompson had minorities when he was the Republican governor for 12 years, and he got everything done he wanted to get done.
I find it dangerous to do this sometimes, but I'm also me, and I can't help making sports metaphors.
Yeah, I know. That's
but,
life, right? Yeah.
One of my favorite, if not my favorite sports moment, was when Walter Payton passed away. The Packers-Bears play that weekend, and you see all these signs in Lambeau of thank you, sweetness, and all this.
Right.
It's not a big deal. I can look at Brett Favre's career and say, that's one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life, greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen. That's not my team, but I can do that. Why can't we do that in politics? Why can't we get to a place in society where compromise is not a negative? Compromise is not a bad thing. If I say something nice about somebody in another party, it doesn't mean I want them to be elected. It doesn't mean I want to go have a beer with them or anything. Yeah. It just means, you know what? They did something to help everybody out. They got it right that time. Nice job.
You know what's driving the nail into that coffin of partisanship? Washington this week. 11 votes for the speakership.
What the what, man?
It is ridiculous that there are 20 Republicans that are holding up the entire Congress, but there's blame to share in the Democrat side, too, that they could just come across and cast some votes for somebody and just say, let's get this done. So Washington is putting the final nails in this coffin, because you don't see that in Wisconsin. We had last week our speaker election, our inauguration. We had four members total who just didn't cast a vote.
Mm.
They didn't stand up and do press conferences.
Yeah.
They didn't fundraise off of it. They sat there and held their tongue and didn't say anything for either one. We picked a leader. We got sworn in. We got our badges. We got down to business.
Yeah.
So everything that we talked about in the beginning of the show about how people are fed up with it, Washington's perpetuating it this week. And I talked to Derek Van Orden last night. He's still not sworn in as a congressman right now, and he is furious that he spent the last 4 years campaigning for this spot, and now he's being held up by some idiots on one side or both sides who just don't want to be adults and get something done. So I think what's going on in Washington is really putting the nail in the coffin of partisanship. And to see, you know, even when those people were, you know, Trump followers,
mm-hmm.
Trump puts out the tweet saying, okay, it's time to be done, it's over.
Yeah.
Now they just blew right past him. So they're on a whole new level of crazy.
Oh, yeah. But this is when you create a monster. This is what happens. The monster is not going to listen to you. It's a monster. It doesn't listen to anybody. It's
going
to
do its own thing. They're, and I talked to Derek, and you know, they're literally about 80 to 100 Congress people right now, across both sides of the aisle, that are ready to start finding somebody else, voting together, picking a new leader, and just saying, let's get started.
I think that if that doesn't happen this week, and it'll happen next week for sure.
It's like a movie. It's like the old Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where there's finally fed up enough that something is going to break, and I think this is what they're finally doing, is breaking the problems we've had.
The House last struggled to elect a speaker 100 years ago.
Yeah, I think I saw 160 years ago was the last time I passed seven ballots. So,
and this is one of the reasons why it really fits having you on this week, because for those that, you know, the time that Scott and I have been talking, one of the things that I like to lean on was Scott is your political what you went to school for your political science. And for those that don't know, anything that requires House and Senate to vote on cannot be until a speaker is elected. Line of succession, this affects that.
It affects constituent services. If somebody didn't get their Social Security check last week during the first of the month, they can't call their Congress office and say, hey, I need help. They can't.
Yeah.
There is no congressperson for any of these districts across the country because of 30-some people that are on the fringes on both sides. It comes down to basics like that even.
maybe even by the end of this segment, they'll have gotten something done.
Well, I'm going to make some calls here. We'll see what happens.
I appreciate that.
I wish, right? Gosh.
Let's talk about the committees. You mentioned that you wanted to be on different committees this year. You wanted to kind of change that up a little bit. And certainly starting off with that was the recent committee that you joined. You're the chair of the Campaign and Elections Committee.
Yeah.
We touched on that a little bit. That's one that you mentioned you have to learn up a little bit on.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, and the way I've always chaired my committees, is I have always saw that a committee chairperson is a referee. So I always bring it back to sports like you do.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm the ref. I'm not sitting here. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not forcing anything down your throat. I'm the ref. When I see foul, I call foul. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I put the referee shirt on. Both sides get to talk. Both sides get to do their thing. We're going to stop the crazy. That's the first flag. It's over.
Yeah.
Now,
what do you mean by I think I know what you mean, but what do you mean necessarily by crazy?
Let's decertify the 2020 election. Let's get rid of all. Come on. Just tap on that for a second, then we're done with it forever. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 2020, people thought there may have been issues, but we just had an election in 2022 where Ron Johnson was reelected as our U.S. Senator and Governor Evers was elected as our Democrat governor. How do you fraud an election and have the two top on both sides win? It's done. It's over. If anything happened in 2020, somebody's hands were caught in the cookie jar, because it sure the heck didn't happen in 22.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Right.
The next easiest Band-Aid to rip off in that committee is to start at processing our absentee ballots earlier in the state of Wisconsin than on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't have our election results in before 10 o'clock like Florida does, who has three times the population, what the heck are we doing? You know,
I've wanted to do a lot more digging on that.
Yeah
that's interesting.
There are 30-some states, and we've been doing this work because I've anticipated this committee for a while, 34 states that actually can get their election results to people before 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's easier for some of them because they're very red or they're very blue, and it's hard for us as Wisconsin in a purple state to say that we're not always going to have close elections, but still, in 2022... I think we can figure out a way to open up ballots, count them, hold the count until a certain time at 8 o'clock on Election Day, release all the absentee ballots, then count all the ballots that came in on Election Day, be done by 11 o'clock at night. People can go to bed. People can have confidence. People don't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning or the next morning and say, oh, my guy was ahead, now he lost, there's fraud. It's a, it's just common sense.
What do you think we need to do to make that that part of this process happen, to make the election results get them quicker?
Yeah, so I've started developing relationships with all my committee members, letting them know it's my highest priority for this committee. Mm-hmm. They've all been receptive, Republican, Democrat. We had a bill last session that the Senate Majority Leader put out that it got through both chambers and got vetoed by the governor. Mm-hmm. So our next step is talking to the governor's office and say, hey, it's time. Yeah. I think this benefits them too. Democrats and Republicans both benefit when people aren't saying that there was fraud in the election because the count changed at 3 o'clock in the morning when all the absentee ballots in Milwaukee came in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need. I just need the governor to sign the bill when it gets to his desk.
Mm.
I make a pledge to you. I make a pledge to my constituents and to the governor's office. We're not going to put poison pills in this bill.
Yeah.
This is 90% of our election problem.
Let's
just rip the Band-Aid off, get this done before the state budget, and we don't have to worry about it for the August elections, for the November elections, or any elections moving forward. We can just call it good.
Whenever this topic comes up, the first thing I think of is all these people, these volunteers, these people that work the polls for us, that help us keep democracy alive, and the smack in the face that it is to keep bringing up something that happened 4 years ago.
That I
understand. I'm one of the first people to question anything the government does. I wholeheartedly admit that.
I'm right behind you, brother.
But even I, as a realist, a pessimist, sometimes all these things, can't look at all this data and say that there's any holes here, that there's anything to worry about. And and to me, I believe enough in the process. Do I have questions? Do I have concerns? Absolutely. But I believe in democracy enough to trust this process that we've been doing for over 100 some years, that it's going to work. It's going to be okay. Let alone do we have more, they were pulling off elections like this 50 years ago with a lot of the less technology and communication and everything. Yeah. We have so many advantages nowadays, and there's so much work that needs to be done. This is maybe my biggest issue with this topic or any of these kind of these fringe topics that you have this extreme on one side of the aisle, both sides, doing. It takes away from the work that needs to be done.
Right. Yeah, we're talking about process all the time now instead of policy. And that's the ridiculous thing about trying to get these things done. Yes, there are some legitimate things we can reform in elections to make observers more accessible to seeing everything that's going on. And, you know, people are afraid on one side that we're taking away people's ability to vote. And on the other side, they're worried that they can't observe the process. We can figure those things out. They're not really that big of things to get done. And I think people's fear of each other, because of all the partisanship of the last 20 years, is creating that problem. It didn't, like you said, it didn't exist 40 years ago because people didn't fear each other because they were an R or a D, or that they knew somebody who was or that wasn't. You know, so it's just a trust thing. It's not really a process thing. But yeah, we got to quit talking about this stuff because we've got so much policy stuff that we need to get done that we're not even to talk about because there's no oxygen left in the room because the media just wants to grab onto this one and say, look, they're fighting again. Well, we're not. We don't fight 95% of the time.
I do think that it's I don't like the idea of just pointing the finger and blaming any one thing. But you'd be remiss if you didn't look at the media and say, well, they seem to go for the low-hanging fruit all the time. And it's not just the major news networks. It's not just the 24-hour news cycle things. It's local news. It's all of the above. Everybody has taken the lazy route when it comes to media these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exciting to read a press release that Scott Krug went to the grand opening of the ADRC in Stevens Point.
Right.
But it is pretty exciting to hear
Scott Krug,
So, I mean, there is that part of it. So that's always the low-hanging fruit that makes it hard for reporters to want to glob onto those things because they're boring.
There's a mix there, a bridge that needs to be built between media and in the community and in society, because I genuinely don't see in society looking for that.
Right.
I don't think most people in society want to turn on their news and just hit me with the bad stuff, everybody. That's what I want.
Yeah, I want to watch for half an hour and feel like crap when I'm done.
I think that you can do a balance of do your job as a journalist and let me know about the real stuff.
Yeah.
You can also let me know about the good real stuff. You can do both.
Not to degrade anybody in particular, but if there are any charter customers out there with Spectrum, if you get a chance to see Spectrum News, that is a really awesome source. Mm. I mean, they are fair, balanced. They just report. Mm-hmm. They let you decide. I mean, I swear by that when I get a chance to see it. I don't have it because I'm a streamer. I got YouTube TV,
I hear you.
You know.
Yeah.
But if we could figure out a way to get more of those sources out to people, because it's already a built-in paid thing that they don't have to depend on people buying into their ratings, like Fox or CNN have to get subscribers right. and people to watch. If it's a built-in source that's already paid for by some entity, just let them go. Let them rip, man. It's pretty good stuff.
I got to wonder if we get to a point here where this we almost enough is enough.
Yeah.
And finally we have it. We get to that point when we get to this place where that is what the news is, or that is what, because the news stations, they're doing a lot of that. But I also think that you have to think of, I look at reality TV and I'm like, I can't stand reality TV. I don't understand why this is such a low hanging fruit and it's so lame and all this. But it's popular for a reason, because a lot of people are watching it.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I aren't, but they are. It also comes down to personal responsibility and people being like, that's not the news I want. And I'm going to make sure they know that. I'm going to make sure advertisers know that, because that's who you really got to
right.
hit up.
Yeah.
The news producers and everything like that. Everybody's beholden to their advertisers.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can find any source that they like, and then they're just going to echo chamber the source that they like, whether that source is absolutely crazy or not. And I get links all the time from people in Facebook and Messenger saying, look, I saw this on the internet. Oh, well, okay, yeah, that must be right then. You know, so it is. It's a lot of personal responsibility and gleaning through what you feel is reality and just talking to the people who are doing the things and making sure it is reality. So we talk about every month. It is. It's personal responsibility. It's trust. It's relationships.
If the article, if the story, if what you're reading doesn't feel right, trust your gut. Look into that. Look a little deeper. Even if it does feel right, look a little deeper. Read other articles. Read opposing articles. If you're a Fox guy, check out CNN. If you're a CNN guy, check out Fox. Yeah. You got to get a little bit of all the worlds in there, and then make your decisions. And then
honestly,
kind of
that's why I tell people that all the time too. If you're a hyper partisan, if you're way on the left or way on the right, don't watch your program, watch the other side's program. Just do that for 2 days and just kind of, okay, well, maybe that's right, maybe that's not. You know, just do some critical thinking.
Yes, yes. I push back at the idea of, well, I don't need to hear that stuff, or I don't want to hear that stuff. It might influence me. Well, what's wrong with that?
I campaign that all the time. I'm going to tell you stuff you don't like. You're going to hear things you don't want to hear, but you have to hear it. I mean, it's just... That's how the world works. I mean, being a parent and now a grandparent, I mean, that's how I want to live my life.
Yeah.
I just want people to know what the truth is.
Did want to wish a congratulations to your daughter having a big birthday here. I know what it's like having a 20-something and stuff.
It's crazy.
We've
got, I think, all five of the older ones are in their 20s now because she was the youngest. So.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's such a weird feeling to never get used to.
Yep.
But I did want to congratulate her on that. And I did want, of course, to reward us because we had our serious talk. Now we can talk a little sports.
Yes.
Huge deal for the Brewers, to me at least, bringing in the great catcher Contreras.
Man, that was a steal.
Yeah.
I don't know how they pulled that off.
I did not see that coming, especially it almost looked like they were going to be taking a little bit of a kind of wait and see who's left.
Yeah,
in
dumping
free agency.
Salary and just you know, scraping at the edges. And they figured it out. So they're finishing up the bullpen this week and pulling in some guys like Miley and some other guys that'll help out. And so you can see, I mean, I came decked out for it.
Yeah, nice.
I'm ready
for
spring training. I'm not even wearing a coat anymore. So it's getting to be close enough. So
the only thing I look forward to, one of the only things I look forward to in winter is February, because pitchers and catchers are reporting.
Yes, I got
soon.
The timer set on the phone. So, yeah.
Nice. It is great to see you, sir. I'm really, really happy to see that you're doing well. Keep that up. Keep up the great work out there. And if people have follow-up questions, they want to talk to you, Scott, they want to know more or have a deeper conversation that we've been having, how can they reach you?
Phone's always on. 715-323-3293. I kind of stay away from the Facebook stuff now. Just give me a call.
Yeah, right.
Shoot
on.
Me a text.
Right on. Good idea. Good to see you, Scott. You take care.
Yeah, you too, man. Take care.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.